Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
The other day I was reading a news section on the internet and came upon an article that was published in the Huffington Post. And the Huffington Post can sometimes post some very anti-Christian type articles, and or at least articles that don't particularly show Christianity in a good light. But I came upon an article that was titled Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce, Christ is Here Now. That kind of caught my attention because it's somebody trying to say that Jesus has returned and we don't know about it? I mean, that's what the article sounds like. And this article was written by a person by the name of Angel Luz, who's a freelance opinion writer. And in the little blurb, it said alongside it, it said, the teachings of Jesus and all truth of the Holy Spirits. And that caught my attention because the word was not Holy Spirit, but spirits, which was plural. So I decided to look this person up. Mr. Luz is associated with the Theosophical Society of the Philippines, and he lists his education as the Theosophical Society in the Philippines. So I began to, and I know there's been some false teaching and false doctrine coming out of churches in the Philippines lately. In fact, there's one person right now that you can view on television here in the United States who claims that he is the appointed Son of God. And boy, if that doesn't make you want to say, hey, you know, that's red flags all over the place. And things that he teaches are very much contrary to God's Word. Well, let's take a look at the moment for God's Word here, because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Well, there have been false prophets since before the time of Jesus. We read about false prophets even in the Old Testament. We read about false prophets in the New Testament. And here John, in this writing, tells us to try the spirits. Don't believe every spirit. Try them and know whether or not they are of God. Then in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, we read, But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. That's a pretty strong warning there. There are false prophets and teachers among you who are going to bring in damnable heresies, things that will bring destruction. You know, all my life I remember hearing of false teachers and false prophets. And I remember when I was a kid, my family moved to Los Angeles, California. And somewhere out in the LA area, and I don't remember where it was now, there was a guy who claimed to be Jesus. And he'd come back and he had his own little cult group going. All was going pretty good for him, I guess, until some irate husband, whose wife he had been fooling around with, came in and shot him and killed him. And that, of course, ended his reign as Messiah real quick. And, of course, there have been people since then. There were people before that who have claimed to be Christ. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, goes on again and warns us, For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Some of them are pretty good at what they do. You know, some can be very deceptive. He goes on in verse 26, and he says, "Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers, believe it not." I know this one person I referred to, and I can't recall his name right offhand, that's based out of the Philippines, that tells you he's the appointed son of God. He's teaching that there are going to be problems that are going to come, but don't worry about them as long as you're a member of his church and you can go to one of the centers that he set up across the world, you'll be safe. Well, that's kind of not what the Bible says. So, again, false doctrine there. Well, I told you this article that Mr. Luce wrote referred to Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce, and it was titled Christ is Here Now. And so I just kind of to get some background, although I've heard both of these names before, I just wanted to get a little more background on them. So I looked up Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce was born in 1877, and he died in 1945. And he was considered to be an American Christian mystic. You know, it's getting to where the word Christian gets thrown around so much, this, that, and the other. Sometimes I get leery just if somebody says Christian sometimes. Who answered questions on subjects such as healing, reincarnation, wars, Atlantis, and future events while in a trance. A biographer gave him the nickname the Sleeping Prophet. And he had a nonprofit organization which was called the Association for Research and Enlightenment, which was founded to facilitate his work. And a hospital and university were also established. And some consider him to be the true founder and principal source of the most characteristic beliefs of the New Age movement. And it's interesting about the New Age movement because, oh, it's love and peace and joy and all of this stuff, and we've got it now, and if we'll all just love one another and, you know, toss flowers out. I was a teenager and a young person during the beginning of what was referred to as the hippie time and movement, and people were out there, and I remember the day I got drafted into the Army. There were a bunch of them down there throwing flowers at us and telling us peace and love and all of this, protesting as we got on the bus and wanting us to actually walk away from the bus. And so he's considered the founder of that group. And Theopathy and Anthros Theophacy, there's something called the Askesic Records, which are a compendium of thoughts and events and emotions believed by Theophacists to be encoded in non-physical plane of existence known as the astral plane. And maybe you've heard that word before, referring to the astral plane. And there were songs that were written a few years back about all of this stuff and how we could become enlightened by all of this, and how it would change the world. Now, during the end of Mr. Cayce's life, some people begin to challenge some of his abilities, and traditional Christianity, as they should have, questioned his unorthodox answers on religious matters such as reincarnation and the Cayce records. So here's a guy who's suddenly got all of this enlightenment based on stuff that he's probably made up to some great extent. And if we just follow this, you know, we'll be fine. Well, the only way we're going to be fine, folks, is if we follow Jesus Christ and what God's Word has to say in the Bible. If we follow anything else, we're going to end up in big trouble. And you look back at a lot of these cults and false prophets and false teachers, and what happened? It somewhere along the line turned into disaster. Some of you here may remember back about 30-some years ago where there was a thing with a guy by the name of Jim Jones, who started out good, but somewhere along the line he lost his way, as some would like to say. Quite frankly, he backslid. And he started teaching false doctrine. He led close to 1,000 people to their death in the jungles of Guyana. And there have been others. There was David Koresh in Texas, who had his group together, and they believed he was, he was Jesus come in the flesh again. And they believed his teaching, because he was taking the Bible, but he was twisting the scriptures. And we still have people doing that today. So here, this is kind of what was the case with Mr. Casey here. A false prophet. And then, of course, there was Nostradamus, and some of you have heard about him because they've done programs on TV about him and some of his prophecies and some of his writings. And he was a reported seer who published collections of prophecies back in the 1500s. He lived 1503 to 1566. There's even a book that's out. It's appeared in print in 1555, and it's rarely been out of print since then. And some people read that, and they go by what Nostradamus had to say, and there are times something's about to happen, and it was, well, Nostradamus said. Well, I don't think Nostradamus was a prophet of God. And sometimes some people get lucky with some of their guesses as to what may take place in the future. But anyway, this article is based on these teachings. So he's writing, Christ is here now. Well, there's no more important prophecy in all the world is that of the coming of Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus said, as he was before he ascended back into the heavens, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. So Jesus has said he's going to come again. There are prophecies throughout the New Testament talking of the return of Jesus Christ. And of course, over the last 2,000 years, there have always been those who have come and tried to convince people that they were Jesus Christ who's come in the flesh. And of course, today, 2,000 years after Jesus' ascension back into the heavens, or roughly that amount of years, we're still waiting for Jesus to come back. And some people are saying, well, it's never going to happen, or maybe it's already happened. There's one group that's trying to tell you all of this took place in A.D. 70, and it all happened. And I'll tell you, if this is what heaven and what Jesus was talking about, I'm sorely disillusioned. But you know what? It's not what Jesus was talking about. We're living in the area of what some of the writers in the Gospels talked about that was going to take place before Jesus comes back. Jesus hasn't come back yet. I don't care what somebody tells you and how important they may think they are, Jesus has not come back yet. It goes on to say that churches are unanimous in the belief that Christ will return. But as to the whys, hows, and wherefores, there are a million different interpretations. And of course, we've all heard of many people proposing dates and times as to when this was going to take place. There was one gentleman, and I can't recall his name right offhand, just a few years back, had decided that Jesus was going to come back on such and such date. And he owned a series of radio stations. And his listeners and followers begin to prepare for Jesus coming, and some of them went out and did some very foolish things as far as with their finances and their properties and so on, because Jesus was going to come back and we're out of here and, you know, all this other stuff, you know, and that date came and went. And he said, well, no, I misinterpreted. It was a different date, and it didn't happen again. And not only him, but others throughout history have said, Jesus is going to come back on such and such date. And some people have gathered themselves in white robes and went and sat on a mountaintop somewhere and said, Jesus is coming back. We're getting halfway there already because we're on the mountaintop. Already got our white robe on. I got news for you. Any white robe that you get here isn't good enough for that. Jesus is going to come back, but he said himself, he doesn't even know when he's coming back. Only the Father knows. So there have been all these dates and times, and I've heard people say, well, I've heard it preached all my life that Jesus is coming back. I don't think it's going to happen. Well, the Bible says it's going to happen, and if the Bible says it's going to happen, guess what? It's going to happen. Now, we don't know when, but it's going to happen. Well, then we start getting into post-biblical revelations, and we have those all the time. And that's where some of these people come into play. For example, Nostradamus predicted that Jesus would be reborn in 1999. Now, that was 400 and some years down the road because he published this in 1555. He's going to be born again in 1999. I guess he expected to go through just like the original virgin birth there in Bethlehem, you know, and he's going to have to grow up again and all of this stuff. Well, guess what? That didn't happen. And, of course, he published some other things. And his book, in the Century 6 Quatrain 97, that mentions the coming of the great king of terror. Well, first of all, how in the world could somebody equate the great king of terror from the sky as being referring to the rebirth of Jesus? I mean, that's nothing like the Jesus that I know about. And he's going to be reborn, and the second coming would take place in 1999. Well, of course, that didn't happen, so I guess that makes him a false prophet when it comes to that. And then there was the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that, every age, Jesus comes to light in a new way. And part of this is part of the New Age teaching of the Theosophical Society, and which was started by an American pastor. And he claimed to have direct access to the Keswick records, which evolved from a version of the Book of Life for the purpose of transcribing the fifth gospel of the life of Jesus. Well, his work was published, and all the things he talked about didn't happen. And then, of course, Edgar Cayce, who said that Jesus was going to be born in 1998 or 1999 himself. Now, he may have gotten this from Nostradamus, since those dates are so close together there. And, of course, he claimed to get some of these revelations in a trance. And then there was a Tibetan Lama out there who had, even though he was not a Christian, he had prophecies concerning a Messiah that would come and all of these things. Well, all of these people have wrongly predicted that Christ would come. This Tibetan Lama predicted that Christ would begin his ministry in 2005 and that he would be born before 1985. And, well, I'm sorry, but that's kind of a long ways off because it hasn't happened. Well, of course, there are always new revelations and new teachings that come about. And trying to tell us that Jesus is going to do this. What is that scripture we read earlier? If they say he's here, don't go there. If they say he's there, don't go there. That's what all of them are trying to say. Jesus is going to be here. Rush there because that's where Jesus is going to be. Like this guy on TV I was mentioning a few minutes ago. Come to my place, my gathering place. I'm there. I'll be your protector. John wrote, I have used proverbs to tell you these things, but the time is coming when truth shall not be so veiled, and I will speak to you plainly about the Father. That's in John chapter 16. He goes on to say, oh, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you cannot understand it now. When the Spirit of holiness and truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. We need the Holy Spirit in our life guiding us into all truth. We need to have God speaking to our hearts, not some false prophet out there who's had some trance somewhere and got up and testified things that are totally against what the Word of God had to say. He goes on to say in this article that the Bible does not have all the answers. Well, I guess technically you might could say that's true, because it doesn't answer my question, what am I going to have for lunch today? So no, it doesn't have that answer. But it has all the answers that we as human beings need in here as concerning the Word of God and what God's plan for us is. No, it doesn't necessarily detail our day-to-day life, but it has the answers for us overall in the plan of God. The Bible contains the truth, but in this gentleman's teaching, the Bible does not contain all the truth. In fact, it goes on to say, in fact, most all of the teachings of the Old Testament were objected to by so many contrarians and free thinkers that were already refuted and rendered obsolete by the teachings of Jesus. Jesus came to fulfill what they were teaching. Well, he goes on to talk some more about some of his New Age beliefs and some of those things that he believed. And he goes on to say, hence there will be even more new teachings and a general upgrading in our spiritual instruction forthcoming. Your nagging questions will be answered, all of them. The answers are coming at you even now. Look with your minds and hearts open. This is what Satan wants you to believe, that there's answers out there that God's Word is not giving us, that there's something new coming. There is some new type of revelation. There's going to be something revealed that's going to shake the world. Well, one of these days there's going to be a revelation that's going to shake the world because somebody's going to get up and stand and declare himself to be God. And he's not. There are a few people, like I say, that still run around today and have throughout history clawed up and claimed they were God or that they were Christ, but there weren't. But he goes on to say, but only those who are deserving will be able to receive them. It's not just for the general, you got to come be part of my group or you're not going to know the truth. And there's groups out there like that today scattered all around the world that want you to believe that your only way of having salvation, as they would say it as well, is come and be a part of their group. They've got the only truth. Well, the truth is still in God's Word, and it's open and available to anyone that will accept it. He has gone on to say, so perhaps you can begin to ease your fears. The second coming is not the battle of Armageddon, the rapture, or the end of the time predicted in your Bible. The world will not end, at least not yet, because they're going to take you into this new golden age of Aquarius. I remember back, I think it was probably in the 60s, somewhere along the line, actually it was, because the song was written in 1967, sung by the Fifth Dimension. Some of you may remember it. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And there were all kinds of songs like that. Peace will guide the planets when Jupiter aligns with Mars. You know, it's all got to be astrophysical out there. And all of these things, are just, oh, love, joy, peace, flowers for everyone, you know. It's here. That's what they would have you believe. But I'll tell you, none of these things. The time of love, joy, peace, and harmony will come when Jesus sets up his kingdom. And only when he sets up his kingdom. And not when anybody else does or when anybody else says it is. It's only when God's word is fulfilled and Jesus comes back to rule and reign on planet Earth that we will have those things occur. Mr. Luce said, a time of love, peace, harmony, and understanding looms just ahead. Well, in a sense, he is right, because I do believe Jesus is coming back. I don't believe he's coming back the way Mr. Luce writes. I don't believe he's coming back the way Edgar Cayce writes or Nostradamus prophesies. I believe he's coming back the way the Word of God says he's coming back, and he's going to come back, and we are then going to be a part of his kingdom as his children, because we have what? We have accepted him as our personal Savior. We have repented of our sins, and we are following God's law. When we do that, he's coming back for us. I've got news for you. If you're not a part of Jesus' kingdom, it's never going to be a piece of love. Time of peace, love, and harmony for you. It's going to be a time of terror. It's going to be a time of pain. It's going to be a time of suffering. It's going to be a time you don't really want to be a part of. But the choice is yours as to which one you are a part of. The Bible tells us in Revelations that at the second coming of Jesus Christ, he will set up his throne in the New Jerusalem. And we will have what is referred to as the millennial reign. And we will have that time of peace for a 1,000-year period. Revelation 19:11 says, and I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And then in verse 13 it says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In verse 16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he comes back, that's when we will have this time of peace. Not because somebody out here prophesies that somebody's going to come along and do this, that, or the. It's only going to happen the way the Word of God says it's going to happen. If it does not agree with God's word, then it is a false prophecy. Simple as that. If it does not agree with God's word, it's false. It may sound good. It may look good. But you know what? Satan is the great deceiver. He's good at deception. Have you ever watched some of these magicians maybe watch them on television or maybe even saw one in person, and some of the illusions that they create there? And they'll tell you this is illusions, you know? And some of it looks so real, you know? And how did they do that, you know? And all of this stuff, it looks so real. Well, Satan wants things to look so real to us that we will be deceived by it. And many have been deceived by the things that he's put forth. Revelation 20:1-2 says, and I saw an angel come down from the heaven, holding the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Thrown into the pit 1,000 years. We'll have that peace. We'll have that love. But I'm going to tell you what the truth of God's word goes on to say, because it goes on to say, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and on the sixth and second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. If we are part of his kingdom, if we've accepted him into our hearts, we are going to reign with him 1,000 years. And then it talks, if you go on and you read the rest of the scripture, it talks about Satan's going to be loosed for a season. And after that, he is going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Revelation 22:19 goes on to say, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. That's a pretty stern warning there. If you add to or take away from it, you're in big trouble. What's here is what he wrote. There is no new gospel. There is no new revelation. When will Jesus come? I don't know. I think it's going to be soon. But I don't know. And none of you here know. And quite frankly, anyone listening to me by other means doesn't know when Jesus is going to come. But I think preparation is underway. He's coming soon. I know that. Jesus spoke these words in Mark chapter 13, verses 31 through 32. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. The Father knows. And sometimes I think maybe he's just about ready to give that command. It's time! I don't know really what he's going to say, but maybe something like that. But you know what? I can kind of imagine with whatever words he utters to set that event into motion, I think there's going to be great rejoicing in heaven at that moment as well, because Jesus is going back. He's going for his own. He's going for the blood-bought redeemed. And if you're a born-again Christian, that's you, the blood-bought redeemed. I know some of the teaching today is there's more than one way to heaven. There are churches that teach that. There are churches that claim to be Christian churches that teach that there is more than one way to heaven. But God's Word says Jesus is the only way. And if you are teaching any doctrine that there is more than one way, then you are not teaching the Word of God. You are teaching an abominable heresy. And that's what God's Word has to say about it. The question is, are you ready for when that trumpet sounds? Are you ready? Because if you miss it, it's going to be too late. Oh, some will say, well, if I miss the rapture, well, I can get saved during the tribulation period. And I know the Bible talks about people being saved during the tribulation period. But I got, frankly, most people, if you couldn't live for God now, what makes you think you're going to live for God during the tribulation period when it's going to mean your life probably to do it, when people are going to come against you worse than anything you ever thought about if you try to live for Jesus during that time? So if you can't do it now, odds are you can't do it then either. Jesus is coming. Yes, he said he was coming back 2,000 years ago. He didn't say when, but I believe his word. I know he's coming. I sense the time approaches. It's at hand. And if we're not here when the rapture takes place, if we've maybe gone by way of the grave, that's okay too, because as Christians, we're still going to be in his presence. We're still going to be part of his kingdom. And Father, today I ask this. We conclude this message, Father, that it would touch hearts, it would touch lives wherever this word goes forth. And Father, that souls would come into the kingdom. And Father, maybe there's some that are kind of on the fence and maybe they're wavering. I just pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts. Give them encouragement and give them strength, Father, I pray. And Father, I ask, Father, just in a special way today, that this word would touch hearts that don't know Jesus as their Savior. And they would make that decision today. Father, I give you praise and I give you glory, for I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.